Okay, we're live on both our video and on the phone lines. If you're on the phone line this evening and you have a question, and there could be one this evening, write this down. Text 801-541-9181. That's 801-541-9181. We'll be watching to see if we have a question come in via the cell. We also can have you on our chat line on Ustream if you're on the video, and I'm watching the chat line to see if there's any conversation that is occurring this evening, and I'll be happy to answer questions that you post on the chat line as well. So it's great to be here with you. Tuesday night, our time to celebrate our lives. We have been talking for the last few weeks going through the art of connection, stepping into someone's world. We have gone through using our mind constructively, mental creation. We have talked about staying present in the now. Last week, we took on these pesky systemic thoughts that need to be right. And we've been doing this exercise of what's it been like to be in a relationship with someone who needs to be right and looking for the good in another person's idea. And now we're ready to graduate. We're going to graduate now into a deeply personal self-esteem area. This is the first. This is how we feel about ourselves in our life, in the tangible life. I'm just touching my desk here in front of me. How do I feel about me in this tangible world? Am I finding joy in this journey? Such an important piece for us to discover. And then next week we'll go into self-esteem at its purest level. Just how do I feel about myself, period. Now in this particular area, I want you to open up your assessments. This is in the second section on the right-hand side. There are six measurements. They will become the topic of our discussion this evening as we talk about finding joy in the journey. The very first measurement is called grateful. It's interesting how many times I'm doing an assessment and someone has this measurement red or orange and they say, that doesn't make any sense. I'm grateful. I am grateful. And I say, yes, you are. I am. You are. You step back from these thought processes, you can be grateful. However, there's a thought process that's lingering that may be saying a couple things. I'll let you just finish the sentences. Some of you have heard me say this, so just write down the answers tonight. By now, by this time, by August 14th, 2012, by now, I thought I would be further along, more successful, more independent, out of debt. By now, I thought I would be. Whatever it is for you, just write that down on a piece of paper. The other one is, by now, I thought it would be. It would be what? Easier? It's the most common answer that I get. By now, I thought it would be. This measurement, grateful, permeates a concept of gratitude, which is spelled out in this entire section. Just look at your assessment. Is there a lot of orange or red, or any orange or red in this area, that might be impacting your ability to be grateful or feel gratitude? So I'd like to walk you through a couple of things. One, in the book, there's a section on this called gratitude. You'll find it in the mental creation section of the book. And it's in the powerful practices. Just the first couple paragraphs read, when we engage in fantasy, remember when we were using our mind destructively, or other forms of counterfeit pleasure designed to anesthetize reality. We want to skip past this to a time in the future when, and start living beyond. When we're doing that kind of a thing, we can get a very unrealistic perspective of life. In fantasy, I got a smile while I read this. No one has morning breath or body odor. No one passes gas or burps. There's always oodles of money and no bills to pay, no work to do, no schedule to keep. We never get ill or have any accidents. We never get discouraged, frustrated, disillusioned, or angry. While in fantasy, our car never breaks down. We never have to work late. Nothing ever gets spilled. Everyone gets along. There is always love at home. Committed relationships are filled with courtship, romance, and intimacy. Babies never poop, throw up, or cry. Everyone does what they're supposed to do when they're supposed to do it. There is never an emergency or imposition. The sun is always shining, and everyone drives courteously. Thanks for chuckling, sweetheart. Ramona's sitting here next to me. When we're in this space of wanting to have our life different, and life keeps showing up less than we would like it to be, it's because we created an expectation, a concrete condition for happiness, and life never shows up equal to expectation. So we want to approach this whole joy in the journey a little differently. We want to first understand the definition of gratitude. What does gratitude mean? There's so much confusion around this word. Many would like us to believe that it has something to do like with the ascetic, who there in sackcloth and ashes, you know, self-denying, going, well, at least I have a place to sleep, you know, that kind of gratitude. That's not really gratitude. But some people view it that way, that I'm not supposed to want more. I'm supposed to be grateful for what I have. How many have adhered to that kind of a concept? Or wanting more, feel guilty about even having the desire to want more. These are very common thought processes. Well, gratitude, when we understand its full measure, its full complexity, we discover two powerful pieces. Piece number one, we, first of all, know our self. If you want to, you can just hold in your hands a 10-pound block of clay. This is you. Pretend this is you. Just think, this is me. This is my clay. Do I know my clay? I don't want to look at my clay. I don't want my clay. I want somebody else's clay. I want her body type. I want his hair. I want her height. I want his wealth. I want her position. And women, bless your hearts, you make this out of 10 women, this composite woman, and we compare, you compare yourself against that woman and fall short. I don't want this clay. I want to look like that model who's starving all the time. I don't think we really do. But we don't want our clay. We want somebody else's clay. And gratitude requires that first we know our clay, our strengths, our challenges, our weaknesses, our goodness, the mistakes we've made, all is part of our clay, our finances, our relationships, it's all part of our clay. Here's my clay. Now, once I know it, I make what could be the most important decision in terms of creating abundance in my life. You ready for the decision? Many of you know this. We've talked about it when we're coaching. Some have done this for a short period of time. It's time for us to really do this. It's choose ourself. Choose our clay. Choose our clay. Just feel this. Oh, but Dave, I don't want this. I want so much more than this. Well, we'll get to that in a moment. But we can't walk through the door to abundance until we know and choose our clay. Everybody got that? You can't walk through the door of abundance until you know and choose your own clay. So tonight, let's make this decision. I choose me. Okay, so I might have a few extra pounds on me. Okay, we can work on that. So, whatever. I'm going to choose my clay. Because then we get to understand the first half of the definition for gratitude. It's honoring the gift. The gift. Now, why would a giver of a gift give us more if we've discounted that which has been given? You see, we keep saying, I want that. I want this. I want Johnny's Christmas present. I want Susie's summer vacation. No. How about if we first know and choose our own clay and then begin a magical process? It's the other half of the definition, which is, okay, now we're focused on what we've been given. We're honoring the gift. Now we get to honor the giver of the gift. The way we honor the giver of the gift is we take what we've been given and we create the most we can with it. We take what we've been given and we create the most we can with it. Oh, but Dave, I don't want to do that. I want so much more. Well, there's more to the equation. When we honor the gift, by acknowledging our own clay and owning it, choosing it, and then choosing to create the most we can with it, that's when the magic occurs. That's when, after fully maximizing that which we've been given, true principle, we're given more clay. We're given more clay. You want more clay? This is how we get more clay. We'll never get more clay. We'll never get somebody else's clay. I'll never be 7'2". It's not going to happen. I'm sitting on my college dorm with a broken hand, torn ligaments in my knee and ankle, smashed nerves in my shin, a broken shoulder, and facing the reality, I am not going to be Nick Bonacani, the 5'11", 210-pound linebacker for Miami Dolphins. My college career is over. I'm done. I don't have too many more body parts to break. However, taking that clay and creating the most you can with it, there's not a day that goes by that I don't draw on an experience and press forward. You learn how to play injured, all out, full going. You discover you can. When life gets tough, you discover you can. You already know you can. You've already done it. Now you just do it again. There's very little that's lost in our clay. We may have had a business failure, but in the business failure, we learn some powerful lessons. When we're talking to another person, we may hear something that nobody else hears, and we ask the question, do you ever do this? You ever had this experience? And it's the difference. It's the difference in the conversation. All of a sudden, finally, somebody understands me. The walls come down. The cooperation floods out. Nothing is wasted. Whatever is in this block of clay can be used should you choose to create the most you can with it. And as you do and use it in the service of others, you'll be given more clay. This is a great thing to know, the definition of gratitude. When Og said it, he said, within me burns a flame, passed down from generations uncounted, and its heat is a constant irritation to my spirit to be better than I am, and I will be. I will fan these flames of dissatisfaction and proclaim my uniqueness to the world. We are supposed to want more because we have absolute fiduciary responsibility for the clay we've been given. What we've been given is God's gift to us, unknown author says. What we create with this clay is our gift to Him. We do not want to leave this planet having played half speed. Og said, I'm here for a purpose. That purpose is to grow into a mountain, not to shrink into a grain of sand. Henceforth, I will apply all of my efforts to become the highest mountain of all, and I will strain my potential until it cries for mercy. This is where the joy is. This is when we get to play with our real self, our true self, our real, genuine, authentic self. This is when our health, our self-esteem is healing. This is when we're given more clay and we get to feel the joy of that gift. When we take it and make the most we can with it, and we're given more clay. And all of a sudden, something magnificent gets created in our life because we stopped wanting somebody else's clay. The person who's left comparing their life to everyone else, who feels less than, 40 years from now, will still be left comparing their life, feeling less than. And the more we feel this, the more resentment and rebellion we experience. I have not shared this with you in coaching calls. It's kind of a new insight. As I'm beginning to understand and study this very piece in my own life, and with coaching clients at a deeper and richer level, and it's this. Last week we talked about those resentful thought processes, those rebellious thought processes, those resistant thought processes. I am beginning to believe at a very deep level that the core to those thought processes, the source, is our lack of acceptance of our own clay. We're in resistance to our own clay, and in doing so, we're resistant to anything out here that's trying to bring structure to us, is trying to bring structure to us. We don't even want us. Why would we bring structure to something we don't want? We want that. We want that. We want that. We want something else. When we own ourselves and we choose to create the most we can with the clay we've been given, we are going to embrace discipline and structure. We're going to work tirelessly without counting the cost. We're going to be so excited to be in this space with us as we watch the miracles unfold. So I think this is really an important decision. Do we choose us? I choose me. I choose my clay. If you make that decision, can you just feel, just ponder that decision? Can you feel the relief? All the time. All the energy that goes into wanting something we don't have, or lamenting something that's happened to us or that we did, feeling guilt or shame and carrying this around with us. And all the while our clay sits here dormant, undeveloped. Let's make this decision tonight. Let's make this decision to own our clay. And make the most we can with our clay. Because the abundance we seek, again, is through this very door. You won't have it till you walk through this door. You do it by taking yourself, knowing yourself, choosing yourself, and then creating the most you can with it. This is the definition of true gratitude. Honoring both the gift and the giver of the gift. So just take a look at those joy in the journey measurements. What are they saying to me? Are they a grateful going, I hate what I'm doing? Is there a little bit of that in your thought processes? Next measurement, persistent. Am I either exhausted believing what I'm doing is not of value? That could be one side. The other side could be, and is most common, a measurement that says, wow, I gotta make money. I need to make money. So here I'm in this, I gotta make money to get out of this. It's all about the money will get me out of this. It's not about taking my clay and creating the most I can with it. Money's the answer. Recognition's the answer. So I'm preoccupied. So everything I'm doing to make money. Everything I'm doing to be seen. Everything I'm doing. My doing becomes my source of my worth. And if I'm not doing, I get to beat myself up. Or if it's not happening the way I'd like it to be, I get to beat myself up. Take a look up there at self-esteem. You'll start to see the major cause of any colors in the self-esteem measure. Whole and complete, confident, valiant. Am I questioning my worth and worthiness, my ability, my belief systems? Do I believe I have to sacrifice my time, my energy, and even my well-being to somehow do this, to get it done? What's happening? What would happen if I just owned my clay and focused on creating the most I could with it? Now I use my vivid visualization to see what's possible. What can I create? How can I create that? How will that serve? How can I connect and serve? How can I create value? How can I contribute to the world with my clay? I may not have millions. I may not be able to solve all the hunger problems in Africa, but I could do one thing, and that's this, whatever that is. I could do that. And we do that, and we find great joy in the doing of it. Then we're doing things because we want to, and we get to, and we choose to. We're doing things because we know how to. And our focus is doing it well. Not about making the money. The money comes naturally when we do it well. When we're focused on the money, we just get past the doing. It's like a house of cards. We just pile up cards. We go do. We do things with quality. We build solid foundations. We become. If you're in network marketing, you become a pin level. You don't get a pin level. You become a pin level. That's persistent. When you look at effective, what happens when we're sitting here in tangible reality and it's showing up differently than the way my mind is thinking? My mind is racing a million miles an hour trying to figure out how to create it today. I got 10 balls in the air. I'm doing a little bit of this one, a little bit of that one. I am multitasking all over the place. It is a nightmare because at the end of the day, I'm exhausted and I really haven't moved my life forward. That's the math behind it. The math behind the craziness, the frenetic, this craziness, dog chasing its tail, frenetic, non-goal-directed activity is an attempt to create today what my mind has already seen. I've said this before. It's kind of fun. A Learjet. In our mind, we can create it in a nanosecond. Boom, we have one. We can fly to France this afternoon. Or by the time we take a shower, we can create a Learjet, go to France and back before we finish the shower. In reality, you got the $12 million to pay for it. It's still going to take a year for it to come off the assembly line. It takes time. It's linear time. That's where we live. But our mind is so committed to that expectation, so committed to I want that, or I want that, or I want to have that, that it's trying to figure out in this linear tick, 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 how to create it today. Oh, drive us nuts. This is why we did the goal setting exercise. We see a clear vision, we have a clear plan, and today we have this piece. And this is the piece we do today. We focus here. I'm taking my clay and making the most I can with it. When I get done with the day, I get to lay down and say, I've done the best I can do. Would you soften hearts and prepare the way while I sleep? And we get to a good conscience. No, we've done what we can do. No matter what happens, we've done what we can do. We've made the changes. That's effective. When we look at realistic, this is an interesting measurement. This is when our dreams get in the way and start destroying our current reality. The best visual would be to stand on this side of the canyon, looking at the other rim. Our mind lives over there. Our tangible reality lives over here. We want to figure out how to bridge this gap, but we just can't figure it out. Ah, I hate this. I want that. How do I get there? The very first thing we do is narrow the gap. We make our dreams and expectations realistic. We can always widen this once we've got a bridge built. Once the goal is accomplished, then do another one, then do another one. But if we've got things so wide, even us, with our brilliant minds, can't figure out how to span this distance, maybe we need to narrow the distance. That's realistic. Diligent. This is a tough one. This is tough. Most of the time, this measurement is a measurement of the things in our life. In this tangible world, there are things that are getting in the way of us being productive, taking our clay and creating the most we can with it, and we're allowing them to continue. So just write on your piece of paper. Just look around you right now where you are. Your desk, your kitchen, your laundry room, your garage. Just look around. things are getting in the way that you're allowing. Now, I did this analysis the other day. All I had to do was step on a scale, and I went, ooh, there's something that's getting in the way of me having the energy I need to spend time creating the most I can with the clay I've been given. Anybody else like that? Now, there's a motivation, perhaps. Could it be a messy desk? Could it be undone laundry? It is interesting that often men and women would rather go solve somebody else's problem, go serve them, go help clean their house, help move their furniture, anything except for in their own space. This gets ignored. It's a little bit like we ignore our own clay. We'll do anything but address our own clay. So take a look at diligent and see what color it is in your assessment and ask yourself, what things am I allowing to continue in my life? This isn't a relationship because that's not a thing. These are things. What physical things are in the way that keep me from, that I'm allowing, that I could actually shift if I made the choice? And let's get about shifting them. Let's get them out of the way so they don't impair us from growing. And lastly, is vigilant. This is a powerful measurement. It's quite often orange, especially when someone wants to create something with their life. They want this and they want that. And what I'm doing is something that's just not exciting. It's not good enough. It's not exciting enough. I want more out of my life. And the answer to the more is to embrace what is, then focus on creating the most we can with it, and you'll be given more. This is a beautiful measurement in that it is identifying for many this natural cry in the soul to create something magnificent with your life. This is the flame that Og was talking about that burns in our soul. It's a constant irritation to our spirit. This is the flame. If it's burning, even more important for you to take your clay, know it, choose it, and then be creating the most you can with it. That is where you'll find your answers. Sometimes we want to go to Africa to find them. By that I mean we want to move there and spend our rest of our life feeding the hungry. That's not a bad thing to do. And people go on missions all the time and do that kind of work. It's wonderful. But let's not do it to avoid something that needs to be done here. Knowing, owning, and creating the most we can with our clay while in the service to others. There are many who are hungry here, thirsty here, naked here, sick, and in prison. Are we going to reach out and serve them? It doesn't matter as much what we do as it matters how we do it. Well, that's the basics and the measurements. And why it's so important for us to understand this ownership of our own clay. Just two more things tonight. One, some of you have jobs, day jobs, careers. Some of you want to be in home-based businesses and working in that business. It's so important that wherever we are, we bring our clay and we create the most we can with it. We live in a nation where, sadly, it's becoming increasingly the norm to put in just about as much time as we're being paid. We don't give more effort than we're being paid. We show up, we put in our time, we go home. We go back to our lives. Such a disservice to us. And we could spend the whole evening talking about the disservice that could be to an employer, but it is a disservice to us. It takes enormous amounts of energy to play at half speed. Half speed. If we don't like our job and we really want to do something else, I'm going to ask you tonight to consider falling back in love with your job. Fall back in love with it. I didn't say with your manager or even with your pay scale. Just fall back in love with bringing all of your clay to every circumstance and doing the very best that you can do. You get to spend the day with yourself, going full speed. And when the day is over, you're exhilarated. It's exciting. will you be tired? Yeah, you can be tired. But it's not the exhaustion that comes from that heaviness of moping through the day. Now, that's not an indictment. It's an invitation that if you have any of that energy, to root it out of your life because it's not serving you. Now, it's been my experience when someone shows up in the workplace bringing all of them to the table, doing everything they can do, they get noticed. Cream does rise to the top. Pay or keeping a job can depend on it. It's not unnoticed. If it is totally unnoticed, you might be in the wrong place. But you fall back in love with what you do, and you do the very best you can do with the clay you've been given. And you can just say this with me, because that's who I am. That's who I am. I'm not the one who looks for moments to avoid. I'm not the one who hides out in the back corner. I'm not the one who just goes through the motions. That's not who I am. I'm the one who brings all of my clay, and I create the most I can with it, no matter what I'm doing for a living. Let us fall back in love with our clay. Let us fall back in love with our careers, our jobs. The truth is, there really isn't a greener grass anywhere. Most often, the very things we don't like here will be present in the next place we go. Just the way it is. So let us fall in love here, and after you're doing all you can do, and you're doing magnifying your clay, if then it's time to move, then move then. Don't move when you're bitter or angry, because you just bring the bitterness with you. And the last thing tonight, the last thing is on the topic of joy and sorrow. We live in an interesting time where some people have had some downs for a lot longer than they used to be. Remember, we used to have that kind of a dip in the economy and it might last for 6 months or maybe a year at the top. And then we all seemed to come out of it. They came up with a solution. Usually it was more credit so we could fuel the economy by buying stuff we couldn't afford to pay back, but whatever it might be, this time around something's happened. We have stopped the industrial machine because we don't have the credit to buy it. We are realigning the economy to get down to a earn it and pay for it basis, where what we buy is in alignment with what we can currently do with the clay we've been given. We're not mortgaging the future, hoping that something changes. We are actually paying for things as we go. This is going to be painful for a little while, but a decade from now, we'll look back and we'll know this was such a critical shift in our economy. To get back to a grounded basis, we use credit more wisely, not so that we can extend something forever. Many of us got caught up in that. It's very painful to dig out of this. And it's very hard to do the grind of now paying back the debt when you don't have the resources to do anything new to get excited about. This is an interesting challenge. Joy and sorrow. Sometimes life shows up sorrowful. Cahil Gibran wrote in his book that when joy is sitting at our board, speaking of our table, sorrow is sleeping on our bed. They're inseparable partners. Sometimes we're experiencing joy, sometimes we're experiencing sorrow. It's part of this life journey. And part of the desire for ease is to never have a challenge. We want to have enough money and get to a point where we have no more challenges. Life deals us challenges. I'm just thinking of some dear friends. We're on the anniversary of Susan Zembrunnen, who we write about in the book. Her third degree burns on her legs. What an amazing human being. When you do the best to look for the good, and a year long with that kind of pain will wear down any soul. A dear friend who was just diagnosed with squamous carcinoma. Wow, another with leukemia. Right at the prime of their lives. Now, our prayers are they'll get through this, but it's going to sting them financially. they're choosing to learn from this. What can I learn from this? How could I show up that would inspire others to show up in their challenges? What can I do to learn from this so I can better understand what another person may be suffering? Oh, what a healthy way to approach life. So when we have challenges, Og says we should embrace them. Give me challenges other people have failed at doing. What, Og? I don't want them. What Og's trying to say to them, you get them anyway. It's just part of life. And how are we going to handle them? I know some of us just get tired. I know I do. That's not my favorite moment when you have one of those. But if we can see it for what it is, an opportunity to grow, and that just part of this life, there is no arrival. That when we're finding joy in the journey, we want to find it in the challenges too. Let's find the meaning, the purpose, how we can bless other people having had this experience. This is when life gets really joyful. Well, that's really joy in the journey. Learning the definition of gratitude. Choosing our clay. Creating the most we can with it. Knowing we'll be given more clay when we fully maximize what we've already been given. So here I am in this tangible world. It becomes very obvious that the biggest enemy to this is where my mind has been. Because if I've been some other place, in fantasy, same brain chemistry, brain circuitries occurred that would occur if I was actually there. Oh no. I just set myself up to hate this. Yet, this is where we create our dreams. This is where we can generate real money to put in a real bank account, to buy a real couch. This is where it happens. Are we living here in resentment and resistance and rebellion because it's not showing up the way our mind would like it to be? It's not showing up the way Sally or Harold or Bill's life is turning out? Or are we living here present in what is and taking this, our clay, and focusing not on what we don't have, on our lack and frustration, but what could we create with this if we focused on creating the most we can with it? What could be done? As I said to a client recently, if you've got a car that you can only trust to drive 100 miles in any direction, don't take it across country. See what you can create within the 100 miles, and then buy a better car that'll go 2. Then buy a better car that'll go 5. Then a better car that'll go across the country. Then you can go across the country. But if your car will only go 100 and you want to go across the country because that's where your mind's locked in, you probably won't mind the value in your life that's within 100 miles. We're constantly looking at what we don't have, where we would like to be, and frustrated we're not there, versus focusing on what is possible and creating the most we can with it, and realizing that as we do, we're given more clay. May we have the courage to do this. Now, if you want to have a fun scroll, the scroll would be a scroll 8, multiplying my value 100-fold. I can take my life and throw it in a sack and have it dumped into a stall and fed to the swine. I can do that. That's what happens when I go into fantasy. I can have it ground into flour, made into bread, broken open, and devoured by the will of others. That's what happens when I'm in resistance and resentment and have to and should and must. Or I can plant it in the darkness of the soil. My inabilities, frustrations, disappointments. This clay in which I've been given the opportunity to ripen, to mature. That's what ripen means, to mature. I will sucker this seed, suck seed until it sprouts into 100 grains of wheat. We planted 1. It grew into 100. We were given more. It's a miracle. Have some fun with this scroll. You'll have objectives before your life will crystallize. Set goals. You're not going to do that if you don't want this. You'll be wanting this, wanting that. I don't have time for that. I can't stick to that. If this is our objective, We will set goals because our total focus is creating the most we can with the clay we've been given and doing so in the service of others. May that be our decision this night. And we'll look forward to coming back with you next week, because next week we're going to take on self-esteem, the deepest, most intrinsic level, our worth and our worthiness, our ability, our belief systems. And let me see if I can't give you some information that will help you continue this healing process. It's such a pleasure to be with you every Tuesday night. We send you off with our prayers. There's not a night that goes by that we don't pray for you. It's true. That you'll find the courage to live these principles and experience the joy that can be yours in this journey. May you do so. Thanks, everyone.